Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It is Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so. And my guest, I'm so excited to introduce you to, is Cassie Motz. She is the executive director of the College Bound Foundation, and we're going to find out all about the great work that they do. But first, let's say good morning to Cassie. How are you?
Good morning, Gina. Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks for your interest in College Bound and our work.
Of course. Thank you, Cassie. And we are both broadcasting this morning from our dining rooms because we are adhering to those COVID-19 social distancing, you know, requirements, which is a huge thing that we're going to be talking about how your work is even more important now in the era of a pandemic, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, let's start. First of all, how long have you been? You're the executive director of the College Bound Foundation. How long have you been there, and what was your background that sort of led you to the job that you have now?
So I've been at College Bound for 6 years, and I'm actually a lawyer by training. I'm originally from Baltimore, and I've lived here most of my life. And I've always been interested in education. I was a teacher right out of college through the Teach for America program.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah. And so most of my work in the law was focused on working with people in the community. I was a domestic violence prosecutor. I represented abused and neglected children. And I really wanted to get back to education and focus on providing opportunity to our city's youth. So that was what led me to our work at College Bound.
So you must know our friend Adam Rosenberg from Baltimore Child Abuse Center and our friends
at House
of Ruth, Maryland. Oh, they absolutely do. And it's not unusual. I think the other person that's an attorney that now runs a nonprofit of Art with a Heart, I can't remember.
Oh, Randy Pupkin. She's fabulous.
Right? Isn't she fantastic? Yeah. And they're celebrating a big anniversary, and she's an attorney by trade. But after a while, she said she was just yelling at people in the courtroom, and then she just wanted to help people. Is that kind of sort of what you did, too, where you're like, wait a minute, why?
That definitely happens. There are definitely a lot of us, lawyers in recovery, as they say. Randy Pupkin is wonderful. Courtney Cass, who's the executive director of Teach for America here in Baltimore, she's a lawyer by training. There are a lot of us around town who have decided to focus our energies on nonprofit work.
Right. So if anybody sort of hears that and goes, what? An attorney is doing? But really, it does actually make sense. Plus, with all the grants and the, you know, federal stuff you have to do to get your financing and all that, which we'll talk about, it just makes sense. It helps to know the language and the system to sort of get the things that you need for the people who need them.
Absolutely. And, you know, lawyers are trained advocates. That was what I liked about being a lawyer, and that's what I like about my work at College Bound. I really like advocating for the students of our great city. And at College Bound, we actually work exclusively with Baltimore City students and exclusively with students in the public school system.
I love that. As a public school kid myself, I appreciate it so much. So let's start by learning about the College Bound Foundation and how it all came about. I know you've been there for 6 years, but they've been there much longer, I would assume.
They've been there much longer. We are celebrating our 32nd year of existence. We were founded in 1988 by a partnership of BUILD, the community group that you may know, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development, and the Greater Baltimore Committee, the business group here in town.
Okay.
And Kurt Schmoke, who's now, of course, the president of University of Baltimore, was mayor at the time. And I think between BUILD and the DBC and Mayor Schmoke, there was a sense that Baltimore's high school students, public high school students, weren't getting to college and weren't graduating from college. And what could we as a city do about that? So they founded College Bound. And so what we have been focused on for over 30 years now is providing college advising to public high school students and then giving out scholarships, college scholarships, to high school graduates and staying with students during college to try to overcome any barriers that our city students may face in college to ensure that they actually walk across the stage and graduate.
That is so, so important. And now nobody could have expected that the last few months would shape up the way they did. So I can only imagine, like we're saying, what it was like for those seniors who are trying to figure out college and how to pay for it and all that, all while switching to an online learning format. So tell us, what are some of the struggles that you've seen working with Baltimore City Public School students?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. The pandemic has been challenging for everyone, but certainly for our city's high school students and for our high school students who are in college. With respect to our current high schoolers, I'm sure that you've read and heard about the digital divide. And the digital divide is very, very real. They have seen the ABLE Foundation, the local foundation, recently released a study that 1/3 of Baltimore's households don't have a computer, and 40% don't have internet access.
Right.
So if you start with that, and then you're all of a sudden mid-March shifting on a dime, you know, within a couple of days to an online, completely virtual format, that poses a lot of challenges because a lot of our students don't have the tools they need to do the online learning between the computer or the internet access. So that was a huge challenge and continues to be a challenge.
I bet. And I'm sure that College Bound is, you've had to adjust to meet the diverse needs of your student body, which could be, you know, very diverse is a good word. It could be very different from student to student. So
yes.
How did College Bound's advising change in that way then?
So we completely pivoted to a virtual format, and because many of our students don't have internet access and or computers, we have done a lot of our advising over the phone, old-fashioned phone calls, FaceTime, and then some online over the computer, but it's been very personalized. We've tried to have some group sessions, but we found that the most effective advising is the personal one-on-one advising, which we do at the high school. The good news with respect to the timing of the pandemic is that it happened towards the end of the school year, so that
right.
our advisors had really built up a rapport with students. So we have the, you know, they already had their cell phone numbers and we're already in touch with them already. We also have a text messaging platform where we're able to send out group text messages to many students at the same time on a particular topic with respect
Ooh.
To guidelines.
I love that.
We're able to activate that. Yes, and so we've been doing that for many years, but of course the key to that is having a good and accurate cell phone number for students, and that
right.
is something that...
That's a challenge, too.
It is a challenge, and it's something you really only get after meeting a student in person a couple of times and building up that trust. And cell phone numbers change, and students don't want to give their number out to everybody. So the fact that this hit us in March, where we already had built up that relationship, was very helpful. City schools has been great, the public school system. We've been working in very strong partnership with them. They had a goal of ensuring that every single graduating senior, and there are about 4,000 students who graduate every year from the public school system of Baltimore City, had some adult, be it a college-bound advisor or a city school counselor or teacher, kind of responsible for that student's post-secondary plan, be it college or something else. So we always work very closely with city schools, but I was really impressed with how our team and city schools sort of continued to do that with all of the stress and, you know, frankly, chaos of the pandemic. You know, our team
yeah.
is dealing with their own family situations.
That's,
home,
yeah, that's not the only, right.
Well,
you're right. FaceTime, you know, if you think everyone's been doing the Zoom thing, but that does require, you know, a laptop and the internet. And so some students, you know, based on their resources, you know, a smartphone might even be difficult, but you're smart to do that. The texting, the phone, the good old fashioned FaceTime, that's a great way to keep in touch with folks. And is that how your College Bound advisors have been supporting students over the summer so that you don't lose that valuable time? You know,
and in addition, the group text messaging platform, you know, we actually send the text message from a computer, but it looks like a text message. And so that way we're able to send thousands of text messages at the same time on a particular topic, but we're also able to tailor them. For example, we are very interested in our graduating seniors actually enrolling and showing up at college via either virtually or in person in the fall. So we send out groups of text messages about college enrollment and housing deposits and do you need help with the financial aid forms. But we're able, every school is a little bit different. So we're able to, everyone who we think is going to Morgan State gets one batch of text messages. And everyone Towson gets a different one. It's all on the same topic, but it's tailored so that there are links in the text to that particular school. The deadlines are specific to that particular school. So we're continuing to do that. And in addition, City Schools has what they're rolling out this summer is called their Navigator Center. So they have a virtual Navigator Center that's staffed by City Schools counselors, College Bound advisors, and they are it's an online resource where students could go for free, obviously, to get help with last-minute questions about going to college this fall.
Wow, this is amazing work that you're doing. This is so fascinating. And then any thoughts? I know it's kind of a big question mark, but do you have any idea, any thoughts about what the fall is going to look like and then what College Bound's programming is going to look like in the fall potentially?
So it's, you know, it's still so up in the air and a moving target. Most of our students stay local, and most of the local universities have talked about doing a hybrid model where some students, I think University of Maryland announced that 20% of their classes, really any class with 50 students or under, is going to be in person, but the other 80%, the larger lecture classes, are going to be virtual.
Okay.
There's some schools, I know Towson is one of them, where they are not having the students in person after Thanksgiving because of the expected second wave of the coronavirus.
Surge, right? The second surge,
yeah.
Right? You hear that a lot with a lot of schools, local ones,
yeah,
particularly, because that's who we're, you know, hearing about primarily. But yeah, so there's really, it's like you kind of have to be preventative and smart about it, but you also, there's so many unknowns, it's just you do the best you can, I guess, right?
Yeah. And with respect to our programming, you know, in answer to your question, we've been nimble, and we're going to continue to do so kind of dependent on the needs of the students. Our advising has been all virtual. We usually do a big summer kickoff for a group of our scholars headed to college. We have 75 first-year students, college freshmen, and in the past, we've brought them all together on a college campus to give them a taste of dorm life and having a resident advisor and eating at a dining hall, and also we group them by college, so all of the students going to Morgan stay in the same part of the dorms, and all the students going to Frostburg stay in the other part, so they actually get to know some other students for Baltimore before they go on campus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we've had to move that online, but the good news is we're going to have sort of like virtual sort of breakout sessions by college, so that you'll still at least get to have an online meeting with students that you know.
Yeah, well, thank you for preserving that experience, because this interview is making me miss college, and I know that people who are going to be going through it in a different way are probably missing that, you know, personal, that freedom that you get when you go away, if you choose to go away, and that whole part of that experience is that you're not having to be online and at home in your parents' house or whatever, but you know, we're doing the best we can, but thank you for preserving a little bit of that. And you mentioned before that you also support Baltimore City Schools graduates who are in college with the, you know, scholarships and last dollar grants and the college completion program. Tell us more about that, because that's a very important part of what you do as well.
Absolutely. So we award almost $3 million of scholarships, college scholarships, every year to Baltimore City Schools graduates.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge, it's a staggering amount of money. And we, this year, virtually, we had over 100 community volunteers evaluate the scholarship applications online of the graduating seniors and make those awards. So those students have been informed that they have won. And so that is a huge piece of what we do. A part of that $3 million is what you refer to as our last dollar grants, which are the final dollars after a student's financial aid package has already been exhausted. They just need a few thousand more dollars to be able
right
to go to college.
That's
where our last dollar grants come in.
Ah.
And we've had a lot of success with our last dollar grants. Students who receive a college-bound last dollar grant graduate from college at twice the rate of students from similar circumstances nationally. And over the past 3 years, we've actually added programming to our last dollar grants through what you already referred to as the college completion program. So mm-hmm. to get a last dollar grant from College Bound, you get the money. It's $3,000, up to $3,000 a year for up to 6 years, because some students need a little more than 4 years to graduate. The national average
right
is actually 5 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
parents,
you know,
I'm sure parents love hearing that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's a good chunk of money. It's $3,000 a year. But then in addition, you become part of our college completion program. So this is for 70 college freshmen every year. You get the money, but then you also get a college-bound advisor who stays with you during college. You have an on-campus liaison who works at the university who is working with college-bound students. You get a peer mentor, so an older student in the program from Baltimore who's at your college who can kind of show you the ropes. And
nice
you get an adult mentor your junior year who has the same interest. We try to match people by career interest. So, you know, engineering and the sciences will pair you with a doctor or a nurse, for example. And we've had amazing success with that program. Our college completion scholars, the oldest group, are now entering their senior year of college. So the program's been around for 3 years. And 91% of the students who started in the program 3 years ago are on track to graduate next year, their senior year, which is
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great. I mean, the students are wonderful. I have a couple of mentees in the program, and they're just, it's a great group of students. And overall, for all three cohorts, the 88% of the students are still in college. So it's a great program. I happen to be closest to the oldest students because I've got two mentees from the first year, but it's just a really good program. It's a lot of extra support. We send care packages. It's been a very successful program, and it just shows the talent of our city's students.
Oh, absolutely, and you're championing that every day. That's amazing. And where does that money come from, or is that all part of your fundraising efforts, I guess, as the foundation?
It's a good question. The college completion program, most of it comes from fundraising from local, very generous local individuals and corporations and foundations.
Right.
And one of the elements, and this doesn't just apply to our college completion scholars, so that is for 75 first-year students, but we have hundreds of students who are receiving scholarships separate and apart from Last Dollar Grant. All of those college students, when COVID hit, so obviously students lost access to their dorms, to their dining halls, to their part-time jobs.
Right.
And so it was a real loss for our students who, you know, work to stay in school. So we were able to tap into our College Bound Emergency Fund, which is also financed by local philanthropy. And so we were able to, students would apply for emergency funding, mostly for grocery assistance, for food insecurity.
Yeah, that's a huge issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so we have made 54 awards so far. And again, the same very local and generous sponsors who support the college completion program have supported that emergency fund.
Yeah, because I don't think people think about that. I mean, food insecurity, you've heard since the start of the pandemic, and is always an issue. But I think people hear around students and they're like, huh, really? But if you think about it, yeah, especially if you, like you said, the part-time job loss and that kind of thing. And if you're a first-generation student that's worked really hard to get to college and now you get this thrown into the mix, it's, you know, you can come up short a little bit.
Yeah, no, Gina, you're absolutely right. And even before the pandemic, it has emerged as a real issue on campus for lower-income and or first-generation students. Many colleges now have food pantries where students can go and get food. So it is definitely a real issue, and the pandemic has only, one, made it worse, but I think also, you know, across our city and our society overall, nationally, I think the pandemic has really highlighted some of the
If there is a positive, I completely agree with that. It really shines a light on those areas that we might not have even thought about. And people have been, if you'll find probably this is true, are really quick to come to the aid of folks that need it. You know, it's just sometimes you just have to get the word out, and people, you know, Baltimore is an amazingly generous city. I think people help when they can, even sometimes when they're struggling themselves.
I completely agree with that. And studies actually show that people sort of lower on the income spectrum tend to give a higher percentage of their money to charity. I totally agree with you. I think Baltimore is a very charitable city.
Absolutely. So is that probably one of the biggest struggles that you see the students? What other things are they struggling with that you're trying to support, you know, their college experience with like that?
I mean, a lot of it is financial. There's a phenomenon that I did not name this. This was named by the researchers, the academics, but it's called summer melt. And summer melt is a phenomenon of students who have accepted college, you think they're going to go, and then for whatever reason, they don't show up in the fall. And this is before the pandemic. And Baltimore students, they have a summer melt rate of about 40%.
Oh, wow.
Which is very high. So, you know, the students have done so much work to apply for scholarships, apply for financial aid, you know, write those college essays. They get in, and then 40% of them don't actually attend. And so part of that navigator center that I mentioned before that the city schools system is working on in partnership with others, including College Bound, is to focus on that and to really drill down on your question about, well, why is that? And finances are definitely part of it. Some of it is family, personal circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, particularly now, you know, people have gotten, high school students and high school graduates have gotten part-time jobs to support their family because family
right.
members are out of work. And they need that income. And you know, they can't go to college and not only not have an income, but have to pay to go to college.
Right.
So
that's a
big problem, too.
We have to look no further than the unemployment rate to know that one or both parents sometimes might be suffering a job loss or the kids with their part-time jobs. So thank God you guys are there. Again, we are just to reset what we are doing here. We're talking to Cassie Motz. She's the executive director of the College Bound Foundation, which brings us, Cassie, to our next question here. Is that you talked about the college completion program's first cohort that started college in the fall of 2017 and are now seniors. So what's next for them? What do internships look like, and sort of like a call to action here for area businesses to connect with these students? I know our jobs look a lot different. We're in the dining room today broadcasting. You know, we don't even have an internship program at our radio group this summer. So, there's less opportunity, it seems like. So what do you tell them? How do you give them those resources, and how do you help them adapt to enter into the working world that looks so much different than it did in 2019?
It's a great question, because a lot of our students did secure internships and paid internships this summer that were canceled. A couple of places have actually been able to maintain virtual internships, which is great. But a couple of things. One, some of our students, they are taking extra summer classes this fall so that maybe they can graduate a little bit early, or maybe they had a few classes to catch up on. So that is one thing that our students are taking advantage of this summer, is we have a little bit of extra money for summer funding. But with respect to entering the workforce, I mean, you know, nobody knows what the workforce is going to look like a year from now when our first cohort of college completion scholars graduate. I would say that the local business community has been generous with respect to trying to find internships and even permanent full-time jobs post-graduation for our students. The Greater Baltimore Committee, which I mentioned is one of our founders, they hosted a job fair over the winter. It was about a month before the pandemic. And so they had local employers come to the Greater Baltimore Conference Room, the boardroom there, and they had set up booths, and our students went and they connected, and some internships were offered. Again, some of them, I think, had to be canceled because of the pandemic. But we really are very focused on connecting our students with jobs after graduation. And we have thousands of College Bound alumni in the area who we actually are profiling in advance of our big luncheon to celebrate our students at the end of this month. We're profiling 32 alumni spotlights, 32 College Bound alumni who went through College Bound's program, got funding and or advising from College Bound, and now are working, many of them working locally. And the College Bound alumni network is vast, and I would encourage anyone who's listening who is looking to hire really bright, talented graduates of our city's public schools to connect with College Bound. Go to our website, email me personally, collegeboundfoundation.org, because we are very much, particularly in this environment, trying to connect our students and our graduates with jobs locally.
Cool. I know we have just a few minutes left, so I want to make sure that we get that information out about your virtual Scholars Luncheon, which is happening July 29th, right, which is celebrating Baltimore City school students who are headed to college and who have graduated, right? So tell us where that is and how people can get involved.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. It is, like you said, Wednesday, July 29th at 11:45 a.m., and it's going to be on our website, collegeboundfoundation.org. And it is a way to celebrate our graduating students, both from high school and from college. Usually, this is a very large in-person event, over 1,000 people at the Hilton Ballroom downtown next to Camden Yards. And we pair our students with local business people. We sit them up. We seat our students and their families with the business people together at the same table to allow a little networking. Unfortunately, this year, it does have to be virtual, but I was just with our Scholar of the Year filming the Scholar of the Year speech, and the
the content is excellent. We're marketing it as the best lunch hour of your summer. It's under an hour. There are a lot of scholar speeches, alumni speeches, and videos. And I really encourage your listeners to tune in on Wednesday, July 29th at 11:45 at collegebound.foundation.org.
That is fantastic. And I know McDaniel College is this year's title sponsor. And we want to thank Cheryl, who put us in touch with each other. And she came up with this great idea for us to talk to each other. I know, again, shoot, we're running out of time, but I want listeners that have been listening who want to make a donation to know where do they go. Is that as simple as the website as well?
Simple as the website, collegebound.foundation.org. Thank you.
collegeboundfoundation.org. Exactly. Okay, cool. So is there anything else that we haven't talked about? We've got a final. I'm getting the 1 minute countdown. So Cassie Motz, the executive director of College Bound Foundation, is there anything else, any final words you want people to know about the work that you do and how they can get help if they need it?
Well, I would just encourage anyone who's listening, whether if you have a high school or college student in your life who is a current city school student or a graduate, please do connect with us. We do have resources. And the other thing I would say is that I want all of your listeners to know what great things Baltimore's young people are doing. I think sometimes Baltimore's students get a bad rap. And the students we work with are just fantastic, and they are going to change our city and our city's future. And it's truly a pleasure to work with them.
Absolutely. And I think any business that's listening that wants to get involved, I mean, these are future employees that you are training, you know, and it's just that's where that talent pool is coming from these hardworking students that have been experiencing the College Bound Foundation, hopefully for 4 years or more. Right. Cassie, I want to thank you so much for each and every day, the great work that you do, and for joining us today. We were talking to Cassie Motz, the executive director of the College Bound Foundation, collegeboundfoundation.org, right, Cassie? People should go there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gina. Thanks so much for your interest and for giving me the time this morning.
Of course, and good luck on your virtual scholars lunch, and also available on your website coming up Wednesday, July 29th. Check it out, and you will be impressed. You guys, thank you so much for listening. And you can also find me on social media at Gina Crash. If you want to reach out, I'll put you in touch with Cassie Motz directly. And thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.